Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to another segment of Life Transparency. I'm your host, Connie, and I thank you so much for joining me. I do want to apologize for the broadcast on yesterday that was being moved until Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. I want to welcome the new arrival of my new grandson. His name is Judah Emmanuel Sims, and this is why the broadcast had to be moved to another day, because Grandma needed rest after so much labor, and it was well worth it. We want to give a big shout out to the Dover, Wilmington, Delaware area, Philadelphia. Shout outs to you, out my new hometown. So we are excited about the broadcast, not just reaching here, but it's reaching there and there and there and there and there. And they thank everyone for your emails, for your Facebook messages. I'm just ever so grateful. I have not reached being a licensed therapist, but I do take this platform as a practice. I am in school for it, but we're moving forward as we go. One of the things that we do learn in school is before we can work on somebody else, we have to first be aware of who we are and deal with a lot of the issues in our own lives so that we can be effective in someone else's life. So I do hope, and my goal is that this broadcast will help you to go to the next level in your life, to be the person that I know and you know God really created you to be. And sometimes some of us just don't know who he created us to be because of the different issues that have come up in our lives. So our broadcast theme today is the Dorothy Syndrome. I know many of us have watched the TV broadcast of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz and our favorite characters, and many of us use the line of the Cowardly Lion and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man. And we're going to talk about each one of these individuals in this broadcast on today, mainly Dorothy. And so the way I want us to see Dorothy today, see us as Dorothy. Now, this is going to be a very transparent broadcast because I am bringing on a very dear friend of mine that's very close to my heart, someone I love very much, is going to come in, and they're going to share who I was 20 years ago. I told you on this broadcast that I would take some time and be transparent, because if we don't know who we were, it's going to be kind of hard of easing into where we want to be. And along that journey of getting to where we want to be, things happen in our lives. We go through storms. We go through different things, just as Dorothy did. She ended up in Oz, an unrealistic place. She encountered characters. So we're gonna look at these characters as temperaments in our lives, or personalities in our lives, or issues in our lives, or situations that we talked about in the broadcast being in denial, things that we've been in denial about, or things that could be going on in our lives that we have not really sat down at the table of our heart and said, you know what, this is me. But this is who I want to be. So before we bring our guest in, we're going to talk about Oz. Now, we know Oz was an unrealistic place. Dorothy, in her life, she was going through issues about her dog. She wanted to protect her dog. She wanted to escape the situation that she was in. And then comes this lady, and she wants to take the dog because the dog was misbehaving for whatever the reason may have been. You ever been there before? So Oz ends up being a place that's caught up in a storm. You ever been in a storm in your life and you just want to escape? And like Dorothy, we would like to end up in a place that's going to be peachy keen, or what we deem to be perfect for us. But how about we take a perfect situation and put a rotten egg in it? Does that situation still remain perfect? Because if our hearts are still rotten and we get a chance to escape to a perfect place, what happens to that place that we thought was perfect? It's now tainted by the rottenness of our hearts. So Dorothy escaped. She got away. She got twirled up in this whirlwind. She ends up in Oz, which I call an unrealistic place. No, we know that there's no such thing as munchkins because we see midgets, but munchkins, and we welcome you to Munchkin Land and all this. As pretty as it may have appeared, Dorothy was still messed up in her heart. So then she's placed on this journey. So now I have to go and I have to get on this journey. She's forced now to get on this journey and be who she needs to become. But becoming who we need to become is not an easy journey. We first have to say, look, I see this yellow brick road. And remember, the yellow brick road was glistering and everything. And I like to liken that to the scripture that says, let your word be a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. So now she has this path that she has to take if she's going to get free from the turmoil issues and the drama that she's about to encounter in her life. So the first person she encounters outside of Glinda the Good Witch, and we'll come to her, we're going to talk about the Scarecrow. The Scarecrow needed a brain. Dorothy wasn't thinking straight. Have you ever been in a time in your life where you haven't thought straight? You just made all of these irrational decisions and rational decisions and fearful decisions and angry decisions and decisions because your heart was full of fear. And you figured, I better jump out there and I better make it happen before it happens and not even sure what's really going to happen. Have you ever been there? So Scarecrow needed a brain, but remember, his name is Scarecrow. So fear starts him off automatically with the thinking, I need a brain, and I'm not using it. So Dorothy needed a brain. So her first mirror placed in her face is, Dorothy, you can't have fearful thinking. You can't have fearful thinking. Then she encounters the Tin Man. Now, the Tin Man needed a heart. I liken him to a hard heart, a heart that can't be penetrated. But there was something called oil that caused that heart or that tin to start to maneuver. Many of us need oil in our lives. I call it the oil of the anointing from the Almighty God. That represents his love. Oil can start to maneuver the tin or the hardness of the heart. So Dorothy needed a heart. She operated in fear. She wasn't thinking straight, and now her heart is all messed up. So there's another mirror that's placed in her hands and before her face. And as she maneuvers on this path, Lord, be a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet, as she maneuvers on this yellow brick road, she comes in contact with the cowardly lion, who appears to be brave. Have you ever just appeared to be, I got it all together, I can do this, don't step to me, and all these other issues, and then all the time you're shaking in your boots, you're fearful, your bark is bigger than your bite. We've all been there at some point in our lives. We all have been there. We want people to be, some of us, our hearts, and our minds, talking about the mind not being renewed with the Scarecrow. We're talking about our hearts being hard. God created me a clean heart, oh God, and give me a right spirit, Tin Man. Then we talk about the cowardly lion who wants to portray to be tough but broken and torn all up on the inside. He said, I need courage. Courage is more than just putting up the fist and fighting. Courage says I can think straight. Courage says I can stick out my chest. When everything about me says you're defeated, I can stick out my chest. I can lift up my head. I can go in places that I've always been afraid of. And I can conquer whatever comes my way. whatever comes my way. Her dog, Toto, was more or less like a prized possession. What is that prized possession that you're fighting to hold on to, and you're fighting to keep close, and you're fighting that no one takes it away from you? What is that prized possession that if you don't get past the not thinking straight, being that cowardly lion, the scarecrow, or the tin man, their heart being jacked up, what is it? This whole thing may look like Dorothy was on a mission to save her dog and ended up in an unrealistic place. How many unrealistic places are we? Most of our unrealistic places take place in our mind, and we'll see at the end of this movie, all of it was in Dorothy's mind. It was all in her mind. So then we talk about the battle of the mind. The battle of the mind had to do with the three things that she did not conquer or come face to face with. We're talking about the fear that's in her life, her mind not being renewed, her not thinking, not taking time out to breathe and say, you know what? Let me pull this together. Then we talk about Glinda, the good witch. I like her too, the encouragement that only came once in a while, just to make sure she had hope enough to get along the way. If you don't know that hope, his name is Jesus. God sent him because he loved us so that he gave his only begotten son that we all might have a right to the tree of life. We all may have a right to be on that yellow brick road and reach our destination. We're going to encounter fear, hard hearts, and cowardness. But Glinda was there to encourage her along the way. But the lesson was to get her to put those mirrors in front of her face and say, you know what, yes, I can. We've been saying this all the month of February, yes, I can. You have to be able to tell yourself, I can. I can conquer this. I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to have a hard heart. I was riding along the way and I heard Holy Spirit say, nothing can get in if you don't take nothing out. I dare you to try to fill up a glass to the rim and then try to add something else. It's going to spill over. And whatever the contents of that heart is, I liken your heart to that glass. Whatever's in your heart is going to spill out. The thing that you don't want people to see, that you're really bitter and angry and miserable, you think people can't see it, it's spilling out. And you keep trying to put people in there, you try to put stuff in there. I know I used to be a shopaholic. Whenever I got angry, I'm going to buy me some shoes. Whenever I got angry, I was going to go buy me a pocketbook, go get my nails done, pay $60, $70 to get my hair done, and it'd be sweated out within the next day. I kept trying to put stuff in, and the more stuff I put in, the more what was hiding in my heart began to spew out, cussing, lying, fear, 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 which caused me to lash out at people. So I had to come to the table, and I had to say in my heart, this is who I am, and I know who I want to be. And I know I couldn't become who I wanted to be if I didn't put the work in. So we're talking about the Dorothy syndrome. I have someone that I want to bring on that knew me over 20 years ago when my children were really young and they were still getting to know me. I'm going to bring on Brother Lamar Mays, and I'm going to allow him to share transparently. The person that you all know now is the person is not the same person that he knew 20 years ago. So, Brother Mays, we welcome you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. So we're talking about the Dorothy syndrome. in the close of our show, and we're having you come in, and we're going to allow you to be transparent concerning me. It's nothing like being seen. We can look in the mirror and see all we want, and we'll see what we want to see, but what is somebody else seeing? So the person that you know now compared to the person that you knew then, when you see just a little bit transparency. I'm scared, y'all. I want to let you know that, but I'm scared. Don't let them go for it.
No, don't be scared. Don't be scared. The person I met 20-some-odd years ago, well, let me paint this picture. I met her at a lemonade stand in front of a church. It was the kids was having a lemonade stand, and I walked up. It was a hot, humid day, and I walked up, purchased some lemonade, and I saw her. Very engaging, very warm personality, and we began to talk. Very sweet person. You could just tell. Spiritually, very strong, loving person. We hit it off immediately as friends. As far as the Dorothy syndrome, I don't know if you even had that back then. I don't think you was going through anything back then. I think you might have been at the beginning stage of the Dorothy syndrome.
So then let me ask you. You knew the situation that I was coming out of when you met me, right?
Right. Okay, we had talked about it, yeah.
Will you describe a little bit of that? The lifestyle that I shared.
Well, yeah. The lifestyle was pretty wild. You was out there a little bit, you know, hanging out like most kids did at that age. But you was coming, you was at the tail end of that.
Mm-hmm.
Your life was changing at that point when I met you. So I didn't experience that part. You was coming out of it and had already made up your mind that you was giving your life to God and that you were making big changes. So that's why when I met you, I didn't experience too much of the stuff that you was going through back then, only from what you told me. I didn't get to see that.
So you didn't get to see the evidence. So you saw a totally recovered person.
Right. I saw the results. I saw the coming out.
Okay, good. That's wonderful. That's what God does for us. From a crazy, reckless lifestyle. And God, when I gave my life back to him, he transformed. But something happened in the 20 years that I hadn't been in contact with you.
Right.
So the person that you knew then and the person that you encountered last year, a few months in the last year, before the last year was out, 2015 was out, we were able to get back in touch with one another.
Right.
So that person that you met, we're not going to go into the dates and all that other stuff, but that person that you met, after the person that you knew 20 years ago, this is life transparency, people. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about being transparent. So we're looking at how a person can go from 20 years ago, prior to 20 years ago, drugs, alcohol, partying, clubbing, crazy, acting, to being transformed by the Holy Spirit, to experiences. And this is why I said in the broadcast, we can't hide behind church and the things that we do in church and ministry, because what happens is we're not effective. It's no way that I can be effective to other people and be jacked myself. Because the word says it's a threefold cord, but it's a two-edged sword. It cuts me and it cuts the people. So the person over the 20 years, you come back in contact with her,
Right.
And what do you see?
Wow, okay. Not quite a 360, but different. As far as heart and spirit. Spirit and heart feeling, to me, it seemed like it was broken. It wasn't the bubbly, loving, giving, nurturing person that I met originally. You can tell you've been through some things. You've been through some things which have changed not only your personality, but to go even deeper, your heart. It changed the way you looked at things and the way you treated people, which was...
What about the way that I was talking?
Oh, well, yeah, that was just...
That was kind of sharp,
what was in your heart. Yeah, yeah, that
was... What was in my heart? Say that again, please. Right.
That was in your heart. What you spoke was what was in your heart. And the way it cut and the way it was cold was obviously the way your heart felt because of what you had been through. Totally different person. Totally different person. And I think that's what happens when you go through traumatic situations. So much disappointment and so much hurt that it consoles you and it takes over.
So when you came back in my life, was I still in church?
Oh, yeah. You were still in church. You've always been in church, yes.
Okay. Even with the cold heart and the sharp words, I was still in church? Was I preaching the gospel? Was I teaching the gospel?
Yes, you were.
And my heart was still cold, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So somebody who didn't know you.
9 months. Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just saying, for somebody who didn't know you, they probably wouldn't be able to see it. When you're preaching and when you're talking and when you're teaching, they probably didn't get to see that because they didn't, I guess they didn't really know you, you know. But go ahead.
So they saw what I was hiding behind.
Exactly. You didn't put all that out there. I think it was more or less they was looking at you as a minister, a teacher, but they didn't know the real you. See, being that I know you for so long, I know you, you know, beyond that.
You knew me when I was in the project?
Yeah, I knew you.
In the hood.
In the project. Yeah, yeah. Clay Terrace, yes, sir.
Okay, so over the last nine months, since we've encountered one another, have you seen any transformation in my heart?
I have. Slowly but surely, the counselor that I know is coming back. Ever since you went through, let me say the first 3 months, once you moved to Delaware, I think that's when the biggest improvement came, where I could recognize a change, is when you moved away. You slowly but surely became the person I originally knew, the warm heart, the openness, letting things go, willing to take a risk. When I mean risk, I mean put your guard down. You had a lot of walls up. You know, and it was hard to get through those. But I understood why. But now you're starting to open up. Like having this show right here, being so transparent, it still amazed me that you. I understand you giving it to me. Everybody helping other people, that's big. That's really big. So that right there is showing how much you're growing. The fact that you're able to take this platform and try to help other people, at the same time, you still coming through it yourself. So that right there is a big step.
That right there is amazing, and I'm ever so grateful to have you come on to our broadcast. And I shared with our listeners that I was going to be transparent. I would be exposing myself at the cost of somebody else being free. That's actually our time on the broadcast, and we want to thank you so much for coming and sharing and being our special guest on today. We applaud you. Thank you for your honesty and your heart being so open to share and for being such a good friend through this healing process for me. It's always good to know when you can get feedback from someone else. One of the things that I learned, locking a person in a room only gives them the opportunity to bounce themselves off the same four walls. But when you bring another person into the room, they can now bounce themselves off of somebody else. And that gives the other person the opportunity to see what's happening and be honest with you about what's happening. So I'm going to say to our listeners, find somebody that you can be accountable to. I had a bishop tell me that when I first moved to the area and I was going to I'm going to church in Philadelphia, he said, you need to find somebody that you can be transparent with and be accountable with. In other words, I can't just think it's okay to sing and shout and praise God and be coming home and cussing out my family and treating everybody like a dog. I can't do that. I need to be able to get those feelings, the treating the people like a dog and being nasty and evil, that part I have to work out. So therefore, let's continue to be transparent. Let's be open. Let's be honest. Let's be real so that we can get free and get free for real. Brother Mays, we thank you so much for joining us. We love you here at God's Ordinary People. And we couldn't have found a better person to come because I know you know me. Outside of my children, I know you know me. If don't nobody else know me, I know you do. And God bless you. And thank you again for being a part of our broadcast. That's our time, Saint. God bless.
One step away. One step away. When I feel confusion in my mind. One.